Okay, Rabbi Bachai, Parshas Truma. Rabbi Bachai begins with the pasuk in Mishlei Perek Ches pasuk Yud, Kchumu Sari v'al Kosef v'das micharutz nivchar. Take my musar, and not silver and money, and das take wisdom micharutz nivchar, better than the best gold. So Rabbi Bachai explains what this means is that a person should go after musar, go after Torah, and not after money, and he says he uses the lashon of kchu to tell you that he means that you should go after it with zrizus, with alacrity. Run after musar and not after money. Put all your efforts into your Torah instead of putting all your efforts into money. Because he says if a person does mitzvos lazily, so then they're going to get a mixed bag. They get a mitzvah and an avera all at once. For example, let's say you daven completely spaced out. You're just thinking about, I don't know, whatever. What are you going to do later that day? Or your business dealings are you going to do later that day? So you got a mitzvah for davening, but at the same time you got an avera for davening spaced out. Because it's a chutzpah to daven tashem, not paying attention. So it comes out, you're getting a little bit good and a little bit bad. And he says that's the meaning of the pasuk in Perek Yud pasuk Chafav that says, "Kechometz l'shinayim, ukeashen la'inayim, kein ha'atzel l'sholchav," which means like vinegar to the teeth and like smoke to the eyes. So is a lazy person to those who sent them. So he says, what does that mean? In the old days, they took vinegar as for medicinal purposes, but it also hurt the teeth. Like today, you take medicine and it has side effects, right? So vinegar was like that. They used it for medicinal purposes, but it also hurt the teeth. And fire is used for cooking, but when you get near it, the smoke goes in your eyes. So that's what he says. A lazy person, you know, is always a mixed bag. You got the good with the side effects. You got the good with the bad. So he says, if you do mitzvahs like a lazy person, so then you get a mitzvah and aveir every time you do a mitzvah. So he says, rather a person should go after Torah mitzvahs with their zrizus, with their whole heart and soul, and then they will succeed. He also says something fascinating, that he says, the pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Talat says, Misave v'ayin nafsho otzel. If a person had a desire for something and they don't get it, they're lazy. So he understands the pasuk. A lazy person, if a person wanted something and they didn't get it, it's because they didn't try hard enough. So therefore, he says a person should put all their efforts into Torah, into Ruchnias, and then they'll get it. And the whole Mishnah is full of not being lazy. So anyway, that's what this pasuk refers to. And Torah is called Musar, right? We start off, the pasuk says, K'chu Musari, take my Musar. So he said the Torah is called Musar, as it says, Derechayim Tochachos Musar, that's the way of life. And the Shechina is connected to the Torah. And therefore, wherever the Torah is, the Shechina will be. And therefore, at Har Sinai, Hashem revealed himself in an open way at Har Sinai. The Shechina came there because of the Torah. And so too in the Mishkan, in a less open way, because the Aron is there, so Hashem's Shechina is there. And therefore, since we're supposed to, since Hashem wants the Shechina to continue with us, therefore Hashem gave us a mitzvah to build a Mishkan so that His Shechina could continue to dwell with us. It's like the Ramban says, a continuation of Har Sinai. It's the Shechina staying with us because we have the Torah, and that's how we get into Parsha Truma, where they were commanded to donate money to said Mishkan. Okay, now in the Mishkan, we start off with Truma. So there were three Trumas in the Torah. There's the one here where everybody gave whatever they could to the Mishkan. Then there's a Truma where everyone gave money for as a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. That's in Kisisa. And then there is a Truma where they, in Bamidbar, where they collected money for the Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan rather. So he said those are the two that are the one in our Parsha plus the one in Bamidbar for the Karbanos, those are on a higher level than the one that was just a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, that's on a lower level. He says, similarly, there are three trumas we had when we got to Eretz Yisrael, and that is like the regular word truma. There's truma, as in truma gedolah, you take truma to give to the Kohen. There's trumas meiser, Those are both on the same level. And on a lower level, he says, is challah. That's also a type of truma, where you take off challah, but he says that's on a lower level. And how do you know it's on a lower level? This is fascinating. He says, because you have to do challah in chutz la'aretz. And since there's an idea of challah in chutz la'aretz, it must be on a lower level, which is a fascinating idea, because challah in chutz la'aretz is not d'oraisa. It's a din d'rabbanan, so it shouldn't be forgotten, challah. But that's what he says, that the fact that it had, it could be outside of Eretz Yisrael, tells you that it was on a lower level. So those are the three trumos in both cases. Two are on a higher level, one's on a lower level. Okay, then he quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says, going on this pasuk, v'ikhuli truma, the Medrash says, ki lekach tov nasati lachem terasi al ta'azovu, because I gave you a lekach tov, a good gift, a good thing, so therefore, if you kuli truma, therefore you should give me something. So Rabbeinu Bachai goes on to tell you, it's from the Medrash, why is the Torah called a lekach tov? So he said it's because it's similar to, if you have two businessmen and they want to make a deal together, so one trades one thing for the other. I have lemons and you have garlic, so I'll give you two of my lemons, you give me two of your garlic, and then we both can have what we need. But each one lost. I lost two of my lemons to get my garlic. By Torah, it's not that way. Let's say you know Bava Kama, and I know Bava Basra. So I teach you Bava Kama, you teach me Bava Basra. What did I lose? Nothing. I have Bava Kama, I still have Bava Kama. I just now also have Bava Metziah, or whatever. You know what I mean? When I teach you one Masechta, I don't lose. So it's the kind of thing that when you trade with people, you don't lose it. You retain what you have, plus you get something new. That's one thing. Another thing is that it cannot be stolen from you. And the mashal he gives is an interesting mashal. I'll tell you, you'll see why. The mashal he gives is that you have people on a boat. You have a Talmud Chacham on a boat, a big rabbi, and a bunch of merchants. So the merchants all have stuff. They have their wares. And the Talmud Chacham is just there on the boat. He has nothing. And all the merchants say, Rabbi, where's your stuff? And he says, I don't have any stuff. All I have is Torah. And they start laughing at him. We all have money. You got nothing. And then they get attacked at sea by pirates, and they steal all their money, and they get dropped off at some port, and they go to the local town, and everybody in the boat now doesn't have their stuff, and they're all going to die from starvation, and the rabbi walks into the shul, and they say, oh, look, the big rabbi's here. And everybody comes up and gives him food and everything he needs, and all the other the guys on the ship are like, oh, rabbi, can you help us out too? He said, you see, you said I had nothing. You're the ones who don't have anything good. I had the Torah. That can't be stolen from me. And that's how I got this food here. And you guys, you had your wares, but those are gone. So I think the mashal there is not just a mashal to say that it can't be stolen, because it could have just said because it can't be stolen. I think the mashal there is a hint to death. Meaning in this world, the merchants all have the money, and the Talmud Chacham looks like he has nothing. But then when the ship is ravaged, that is upon death, and there's nothing left anymore, so then the Talmud Chacham has his Torah, and through that, they have sustenance in the next world. And as the merchants who don't have any Torah, they have nothing in the next world. And the third way is that in business, sometimes you buy and sell, sometimes you make money, sometimes you don't. With Torah, it always sticks with you and you're always doing good and stays with you forever. Okay, so the Torah lists the different type of materials you use to build the Mishkan. And the first one is Zahav. So Rabbeinu Bachai points out that the reason why Zahav is mentioned first is because it's to tell you that it was Hashem telling the Jewish people that Hashem forgives them for the Chet HaEgel. So that's why Zahav is number one. Now, we're in Truma here. They did Chet HaEgel in Kisisa. So why are you telling me now about the Zahav that came first as a kapara for the Chet HaEgel? So Rabbeinu Bachai says that's the way of the Torah, that it's the Refuah's Kodem L'Makah. First, Hashem first gives the refuah, then the makkah. So first, it's telling you right now, the zav will come first, because it will be a kapar. It'll show Hashem is mocha them on the chet egel. He also points out that if you look in all the things that were used in the Mishkan, the zav, the kesef, even the wool stuff, everything came from a davar tahar. Nothing came from a davar tummy. And that's why he says silk is not in the list. You cannot use silk because it comes from a worm. Aye, it says tola shani. That's some kind of red dye, and that sounds like it comes from a worm, because that's what tolas means. But he says, nope, that is not what it means. I think he says, the Rambam says this as well. It means the tolashni was a dye that came from a type of berry where this worm hung out, something like that. But it wasn't the worm itself, it was a berry that had that color where the worm was. This also means that the tachash, that famous unicorn, was also a kosher animal. It was this multicolored animal, the unicorn, that was only around for the time of the Mishkan, and that's it, to make the Mishkan for Kvod Hashem, to make it look beautiful. And that was also a Torah animal, he says. Okay, now if you count up, you will see in the list of things used for the Mishkan, there are 15 things. And they are 1, Zahav, Kesef, Nechoshes, Tcheles, Argamon, Tlashani, Sheish, Izim, Oros Eilim, Adamim, Oros Techoshim, Atzei Shitim, Shem and Amor, B'samim, Shem and Mishcha, Lektar Sesamim, that's all one. Avnei Shoham, Avnei Miluim, both of those are one each. Then you got 15, and he says, if you look in the first pasuk in Bereishis Bar Elokim, there are 15 nekudos, leaving out the shvaz, because he says the shvaz, again, this is a diktuk thing, I don't know it, he said the shvaz are called the avodim, though don't count the shvaz. So other than that, there are 15 nekudos, and that is to tell you because the Mishkan is a dugma, a model of Briyas HaOlam, and it says, that's why connecting Bereishis and the Mishkan, and it says, Ki beka Hashem, Tzura, Lamim, Ka, is Yud, and Hey, that's 15. There's some Indian to this 15. And that's why there were 15 things the Mishkan was made from. And there's 15 all over the Torah. We're probably most familiar that the Shir HaMalos is have 15. It seems like many in the way of praising of Hashem has 15. There's 15 Shir HaMalos in the what we say in the morning, L'cha Hashem, Agdula, Agvura, V'tveretz, V'nitzach, V'hod, that whole thing, you count, there's 15 there. Up to the words of the God, L'chazek, L'kol, there's 15 praises of Hashem. In MS V'yatziv, starting from V'yatziv, there are 15. So there's 15 in many places in the Torah. So that's all a remiss to this thing. If you happen to be doing Tach HaShavua and listening to this, we just did in Gemara and Chagiga, said that there's 500 years between each level of Shemayim, and then the level of Shemayim itself, whatever, if you count them up, there's 15 in that list. So there's a big Indian in Shemayim and Aretz of the number 15. And then there's a remez in the word V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. I forgot, it's also 15 words in Birkas Kohanim. Okay, just getting back to this. V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. So he says there's a remez in the word V'shachanti to how long the Beis HaMikdash is. Both of them would last. Asili Mikdash V'Shachanti is Shachan Taf Yud. That's the first Beis HaMikdash. Hashem Shechina rested in there 410 years. Shachan Taf Yud. And the second Beis HaMikdash, Sheni Taf Chaf. The second Beis HaMikdash, Hashem Shechina was shower there 420 years. Fascinating remez. Okay. Now he says everything in the Mishkan was the physical Kalim there were all a remez to Tziyurim Elyonim, to things going on in Shemayim. And this gets into some really serious Kabbalistic stuff. Exactly everything in the Mishkan, every last bit, was a remez to really high stuff. And he goes into a lot of it. But I'll just say over what I can say. Not because I understand more. But anyway, he says there are three parts to the Mishkan. There's the Lifnim Min HaParochas, what would be Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash. Then there's the place where the Chutzla Parochas, where the Shulchan and the Menorah are, and then there's the Azara. And he says that's connected three different parts of Shemayim. There's the Malachim level, the Galgalim, the planets, and this world. And in a person, there is the head, the Dibur, the Chiyus, and which is like the heart, and the Teva, which is below. So he says that in the Aron, the Kodesh Kadashim, that's connected to the Makom HaMalachim. And in a person, it's like his head, because he says, just like it says that the Tzadikim are a Merkava to the Shechina, and the Aron is supposed to be like the Kisei HaKavod. So the person who wears tefillin, he wears tefillin Shal Rosh and tefillin Shal Yad, he says that's like the Shnei Kruvim. And a Tzadik who wears the tefillin Shal Rosh and tefillin Shal Yad, through that, the Shechina is Shora on him. And he says, you see how great the koach of tefillin are, how he knows it, you know, I don't know, but that's what he says. Through the tefillin, that's like the Shnei Kruvim, and through that, the Shechina is shor on him, just like the Shechina is shor on the Kruvim in the Mishkan. Then the lower level, the Shulchan, that's where Chiyus comes from, right? That's the bread and that kind of thing. That's where the Chiyus comes from. The Galgalim, through astrology, right? That's what moves this world. And in the heart, that's the Chiyus of a person. And then the chutzer, the outer part, that's where the mizbeach, where we shecht karbonis is on, that's shechita, that's where there's hefzid, That's connected the lower part of a person. That's the teva. Okay. Let's talk about the different, the Aron. So he says the Aron is Miloshan Ora. And he describes that between the two badim, it's from a medrash, so between the two badim of the Aron, there were these shnei nitzotos, these sparks would go out that would kill the scorpions and the snakes and destroy the thorns. And the poles were at the bottom. They lifted up the Aron as high as possible. Right? The Aron was on the bottom, and the people were carrying it. This is all a remez to things in Shamayim, the Merkava and the Chayos, and the Paroch, the top, the Kruvim, are, that's all the Kneged, the Kisei HaKavod. And he says that having the Malachim on top of the Kaporos, on top of the Aron, is an important thing, he says, because the Ikar Rishon we have is that there's a Ribono Shel Olam. But the Ikar Sheni is that there are Malachim. He says that's a very important thing, because it's through Malachim that we get Nevuah. In other words, Hashem, I don't know how this stuff works, obviously, but Hashem sends the Nevuah through the Malachim down to the person. And it's very important that we know that there are Malachim. That's what he calls it, Ikar Hasheni. He also mentions, this is from a Gemara, that the Aron is made of the Aron Atzei Shittim, the wood, that is represents those who support Torah. It's based on a Gemara that says that Hashem told Moshe to make the Aron, and then the people made the Aron. Whatever. So that's a remez to those who the Aron Atzei Shittim is a remez to those who are help out the Oskei HaTorah, and they're covered in gold to tell you that the tzeil that Hashem will put over the tzaddikim, He will also put over those who are misayeya, who help those who learn Torah. Okay, then we have the, it says, V'asisa alav zer zahav, that there's this, on top of it, on top of the Aron, is there this golden crown. So by the Shulchan, it says, V'asisa lo. And same thing by the Ketaros, V'asisa lo. And here, by the Aron, it says, V'asisa alav, this crown that goes around it. The reason the difference is, Rebbeinu Bechai says, is because by the Shulchan and by the Ketaros, the Shulchan represents Malchus, kingship, and the Ketores represents Kahuna, and those are only Birusha. You can't be a Kohen unless you're from that family. And the same, if you're not from Malchus Beis David, you're not going to be a king. That's a Sisa Lo, make for it, for that guy. But the Aron, that's Vasisa Alav. That's just put on top. It's nobody's. Nobody owns that. Anybody can have, can get the crown of Torah. They just have to want it. Then we get to the Shulchan. The Shulchan, he says, just like the Shulchan in the time of the Mishkan, you put its bread on it, was a carbon to Hashem. So too, a person's Shulchan in their home, if they use it to feed Aniyim, then their bread is also considered a carbon. And he says that there was a minig in France, is an interesting minig, there's a minig in France that people would be buried with their table. That's talking about rich people who gave food to poor people, let poor people come to eat at their table. So they would be buried with their table to show that that's the only thing the person takes with them, is their mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. And if you're doing daf yomi, this is, you just did this, it says, kol ha'ma'arich al shulchano ma'arichin lo yoma v'shnosav, that whoever takes a long time at his table, they give him longer life. And that's the same idea. It means someone who hangs out more at the table and gives more food to poor people, he'll get a longer life. And he just says a remez from the word Atzei Shittim is it's a remez to stands for Shalom, Tova, Yeshua, and Mechila. That's what the Shulchan brings. And also, since the Shulchan has bread on it, he also says a remez from the word Zahav, that it stands for the three brachas of Birkas Hamazon, Zon, Haaretz, and Bone Yerushalayim. Okay. Now we have the menorah. So he says an interesting thing. He says that the neshama is neheneh from or. The neshama enjoys light. I've never heard that said about why we do it, why we light a candle on Motzei Shabbos. In fact, that is not the reason given. The reason given why we light a candle on Motzei Shabbos is because that's when light was created. And when it isn't Motzei Shabbos, we don't light a candle. However, just saying, he says that it's the neshama gets pleasure from light. I'm just pointing that out because we know that's why we have the besamim for the neshama. But anyway, he says the neshama enjoys light, and the menorah is a remez to chachmas haTorah, And that's why it's got seven candles, because there's seven branches of Chachma, and it's connected all those seven Chachmas. It sounds like the Torah contains all seven Chachmas. And it also has on it, different things, Kaftor Raferach. The Kaftor, the circle, what is that about? This is fascinating. It says, Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Machol Tzadikim. Gemara in Taanit says that Hashem will eventually make a circle for Tzadikim in Lasa Blavo. So what's that about? So he says, a circle has no end. And the Oneg of Tzadikim, Lolam Haba, has no end. It'll be endless, endless pleasure. And so that Oneg is hinted to in the menorah having its circle on it. And he also says, just like the menorah is supposed to be Chachmas HaTorah, so the Melka Chaim, the things that you use to light the fire, so he says those represent the Eitzos, the thoughts you have to have, because if you want a person wants Torah, they need to come up with ideas how they're going to get it. Or to keep the mitzvahs, a person needs thought, plans of how they're going to do it. So that's the Melka Chaim. You have to make things that help you light that fire. So that's the Melka Chaim that are used for lighting the menorah. Okay, then he brings the Parish of Rabbeinu Chananel about those three kelim, the Aron, Shulchan, and Menorah. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that the Aron at the bottom, the floor of the Aron is 2.5 amos by 1.5 amos, which he says means the area is a little bit short, a little bit less than 4. And that's to tell you that a person is made up of Dalet Yesodos. In this world, there are 4 different types of matter, and therefore a Talmud Chacham has to knock it down a little bit. He has to take away from his physicalness if he wants to be Zocha to Ruchnius, and therefore put in a little more, put the extra effort into his Torah and Tefillah, Torah and Maisim Tovim. To be fully Zocha to Torah means they're going to have to take away a little from their physical. Now, this part is, to me, absolutely fascinating. He says that the we have the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach Hektaris, and the Mizbeach Adama. The Mizbeach Ola. In other words, the main Mizbeach Teshechtan. So he says the Aron, he says, is connected the Tzadikim Tofsei HaTorah. Get back to that in a second. The Shulchan is connected Malchus, kingship. The Menorah is connected Chachmei Yisrael. The Mizbeach is connected, the Mizbeach Ketoros, that's connected the Kohanim. And the Mizbeach Ola, where we bring the Karbanos, that's connected Yisrael. So I'll tell you why I find this fascinating. Because we have a little thing here with the Aron versus the Menorah. Right? The Aron represents the Torah, and the Menorah represents the Torah. So how is he splitting them? Again, his words are that the Aron represents the Tzadikim Tofsei HaTorah, and the Menorah is Chachmei Yisrael. So it sounds like to me, I might be wrong, I'm just telling you what I think. It sounds like to me that he's saying that the Aron represents people who are tzaddikim, who do everything the Torah says for them to do, which includes learning Torah, obviously. But those are the tzaddikim, the ones who do everything the Torah tells them to do. But perhaps someone like that isn't necessarily going to be the smartest person, meaning not necessarily the Gadol Ador. Chachmei Yisrael is separate. That also, we assume that person's a tzaddik too. But specifically, you could be a tzaddik and not be the smartest guy. Only somebody's going to be this. If you have a million tzaddikim, there's still only the one guy who's going to be the gadol, you know, the biggest Talmud Chacham Ador. So in other words, the Aron represent the tzaddikim, those who are the Tofsei HaTorah, who do everything they're supposed to do, again, which of course includes Limud HaTorah. But the menorah specifically represents the Chachmas HaTorah. And that's the, you know, the knowledge, which means, you know, I assume the geniuses who are, obviously, who are Moser Nefesh for Torah, and you can't be a Talmud Chacham without being a Yerei Shemayim, or else we don't call you a Talmud Chacham. But you can have it the other way. You can have a Tzaddik who does their best and isn't necessarily the Gadol Ador. Anyway, that's what I think he means by the difference between the Aron, that just means the Adam HaShalim is doing everything they're supposed to, as opposed to the Menorah, specifically Chachma. Okay, that's my take. Next, it says, this is in Pesach Chafei, Perek Chafei, rather, Pesach Mem. It says, which means you should see and do bitav nisam in their way, image, that I showed you in the Har Sinai. So Hashem's telling Moshe, make the Mizbech exactly as I showed you. So Rabbeinu Bachai says he doesn't understand the word bitav nisam. What does it mean, in their image? In their image, you mean kitav nisam, similar to their image, because Hashem showed Moshe and Har Sinai spiritual things, what the Mishkan represented, the kochos in Shamayim. Moshe can't make that. It should have said, Reba, say kitav nisam, make similar to that. And if you look in Ungulus, he says, v'chazei v'aved kidim muson. That's what you would think it means. So what does it mean, bitav nisam? And if you look, Yonasan ben Uziel, Targum Yonasan says, v'chamei v'aved bitziyu rehen. Anyway, so he says, the way, you can't read it that way. The way to read the pasuk is, re'e bitav nisam v'asei. I mean, you can kind of read it a little bit out of order. Re'e bitav nisam v'asei. See what I showed you in the mountain, that tavnis, and do what you can. But he also explains that, there's do the best you can in the physical world, but it's re'e bitav nisam, and then na'asei, what you can do. Similar to the fact he says, it says, na'ase adam bitzalmenu ki demusenu. We should make man bitzalmenu, with our tzalem, ki demusenu, similar to our look. It says the same thing there. A person's neshama is taka ruchnias. So that's bitzalmenu, in our tzalem, meaning it's a ruchnias thing. But it's not. A person also has a body, so a person is not. A person's body is also similar to a tzalem elokim. The physical body is a remez to things in Shemayim. But that's ki demusenu. That's similar to the demus. Obviously, a person's body is not spiritual, it's physical. So that's the ki demusenu. But the bitzalmenu, it's because a person is actually made of ruchnias. He also says that the word bi means, it's the same tzorech. Exactly, sure exactly what that means, but it's the same tzorech of the tzalem elokim in of the ruchnias world. But he does use that word, which is the point, I think. But also tzalem mamish. The tzalem is actually the same thing. Ruchnias part of us is the same tzalem, whereas the demos, the physical manifestation, is not the same. Anyway, again, you could look there yourself. It is in Pasuk Mem. And we'll just end with this. It says that the krashim are atzei shitim omdim. So there's a Gemara in Yuma that says, what does it mean, atzei shitim omdim? You might think that when they're gone, of the sivram batel sikuyim, something like that, that they're lost forever. Kamash malan, atzei shitim omdim, that they stand forever. So what does that mean? So Rashi there in Yuma says, atzei shitim omdim, that they're never lost, meaning it will be rebuilt. Beis HaMikdash will, it'll eventually be rebuilt. They're not lost forever. The Mishkan is not lost forever. They'll eventually be a rebuilding. Lasid Lavo. But Rabbeinu Bachai says that's not what it means. He says that you might have thought they're lost, meaning since the whole Mishkan is all made to be a remez to kochos and shamayim, so you might have thought when the Mishkan's gone, those kochos get gone. No, that is not true. That's telling you atzei shitim omdim, in that the kochos and shamayim always stand, even if the Mishkan is gone. And well, I'm sorry, one last thing. It just says a nice remez. The word mizbeach, he says, is a Rashi Tevos, Mechila, Schus, Bracha, and Chaim. That's what it stands for, because that's what it brings. The mizbeach brings Mechila, Schus, Bracha, and Chaim, which we should all be zochet to b'mehirah v'yameinu.